Hey, gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the happy ending of free speech, because free speech is ending, but you can be happy here on RBN. So send lots of money to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Operators are standing by. This is part 2 of the Patrick and Jeremy show. Yes, it is happening. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Patrick. Thanks for joining me last night. We had a great discussion on Jewish power. Why are we always talking about Jewish power? What's up with this? What's up with that commercial?
Because it's real. It's real. Israel, huh? So,
this is the
Jewish power.
It's the hand we've been dealt.
Is real. Is real. Jewish power is real. Wow. Did I blow your mind?
Yeah. Doesn't that remind you of your auntie? Your aunt Semite? Your auntie Semite? We're getting corny now. It's early in the morning and we've had a little sleep.
Right. Right. That's very true. That's a true statement. But we don't always have to talk about Jewish power all the time. We could talk about Kim Jong-un, the leader of Best Korea.
It's funny you should mention that, because, you know, the United States is trying to start World War III with every country that it possibly can. And in response, I did catch this headline from the Stormer: Kim is supervising a drill of nuclear-capable rocket launchers designed to target Seoul. So this is fascinating. Maybe a little history of the Korean War. I have some areas that are missing in my studies. Basically, World War II, United States and Russia destroyed Germany and gave half the globe over to communism. But they wanted to keep half of it. And South Korea was under the control of the West, North Korea under the control of Russia and China. So did I kind of get that right? Do I have the gist of it?
Close enough. So when World War II was, by 1944, when it was obvious that the West was going to prevail, when I say the West, I mean the Allies, which was the United States, the major powers were the United States, Britain, and the Soviet Union. They were the three major countries, and their leaders were meeting from time to time. And so there was a meeting at Yalta in, I guess that was late 44, and then in Yalta was like March of 45, and Potsdam was like July of 45. Potsdam was, Yalta is, I believe, on the Korean Peninsula. It's and Roosevelt and Churchill went to Yalta, and Stalin hosted them. And then Potsdam is a town in Germany. So by that time, Germany had been defeated. The war against Japan was still going on. And they were talking about the post-war settlement. And so there were agreements about, okay, who's going to occupy what? And so you had at Yalta, there was an agreement about where, because Yalta was before Germany had been defeated, and there's an agreement about who gets to occupy what part of Germany, and also what parts of Germany are going to be annexed by Poland. And what parts of Poland are going to be annexed by the USSR. And all these things were agreed on. So one of the things, so while Germany was divided up into actually four occupation zones, it was really divided into three zones, but Churchill, for whatever reason, wanted France under de Gaulle, which had been occupied by Germany, but the De Gaulle had like his own little group of people that was he had his own little army, and then he was going to be leading post-war France. Churchill wanted France to have its own occupation zone, and and Stalin said, "Well, you can have your own occupation zone. You can have a French occupation zone if you carve it out of the American and British zones, but we're not giving you anything." Anyway, so they decided, okay, we're going to carve up Germany, we're going to carve up Austria. But when it came to Japan, the United States, which had been doing basically all the fighting against Japan, said, no, Japan, we're not going to carve up Japan. But Korea, which had been annexed by Japan in 1909, Korea would be, we can divide Korea. So,
Let me interrupt with a question. And I'm doing this because I think it's beneficial for everyone to understand the true history of this, to figure out why we're where we're at now with this situation. So Korea then was a territory of Japan. This is why we're dividing it up. That's where we're at. Okay, go for it.
So, Japan had... So Korea had been kind of a technically independent kingdom, although it had been under Chinese suzerainty, under Chinese domination for centuries. But then China became very, very weak, and China was so weak that it was starting to get carved up a bit by Western powers in the late 1800s. And then Korea was under a great deal of Russian influence. Russia was building railroad through Manchuria, but in 1904, 1905, Russia and Japan fought a war, and Japan won. It did have financial assistance from Jewish bankers, but Japan won. And after Japan won the war in 1905, they occupied Korea, and a few years later they annexed it, and they weren't even the Japanese policy in Korea was to turn the Koreans into Japanese. So it's not as if they were given equality, but the idea was let's repress the Japanese, the Korean language. We'll promote the Japanese language, get everybody speaking Japanese, and just incorporate Korea into Japan. That was kind of a long-term goal. But at any rate, the Allied powers, their idea was, well, we're going to take Korea from Japan, set up Korea as its own country. But the Americans did offer, okay, well, we can divide Korea. And the question is, okay, well, where do you divide Korea? It's a peninsula. There wasn't any obvious river or mountain range or any obvious geographical place to divide it. But in the State Department, there was a staffer by the name of Dean Rusk, who eventually would become Johnson's Secretary of State. And he noticed, oh, the 38th parallel, the 38 degrees latitude, that runs pretty much right down the middle of Korea. That would be a good dividing line. So they decided to divide it right on this line, kind of the imaginary line of latitude. And the Americans would occupy the south, and the British would occupy the north. They were doing this type of thing all over the place. The thing is, they already knew that after World War II that there would be conflict between the Soviet Union and the Western powers. There was that was pretty much everybody pretty much knew it. So they were what they were trying to do is make it so the Soviet Union and the Americans or the British wouldn't immediately start fighting a war over who occupies what. So all this stuff was worked out in advance, who occupies what. It was worked out in advance, and, you know, so when the Americans went into Korea, they stopped at this line. When the Russians went into Germany, they stopped at a line and didn't go any further, and, you know, waited for the Americans and the British to occupy their sections.
So, okay, I mean, but
it worked for a few years, but eventually it didn't.
But the 38th parallel, that was an agreement between Britain and the U.S. rather than
Britain, U.S., and Russia. China was not involved in this. And of course, at the time of the end of the World War II, China was a weak country that was in the middle of a civil war between Mao and Chiang Kai-shek, and major parts of China were occupied by Japan.
Okay, so Korea is divided. Then you have the family of Kim Jong-un. If I understand correctly, Kim is the third ruler. So his grandfather, Kim the Second, was ruler from 1948.
Il-sung. So that's not the second. That is the capital letter I and then the small letter L.
Kim Il-sung. Okay, I read it incorrectly. But that's Kim Jong-un's grandfather.
Yeah, he's the great leader, Kim Il-sung.
So was he installed or did he take power?
Okay, Kim Il-sung, it was a process. So the thing about Korea was the Koreans were pretty radicalized by their experience being dominated by Japan. They were pretty radicalized, and communism was in vogue. So the Koreans were north and south. They were pretty pro-communist, and had the Koreans just done whatever they wanted to, they would have set themselves up as a communist country. Now, in the south, of course, the Americans weren't going to let that happen. Not so fast. But in the north, after the Japanese were kicked out, and the Soviets were occupying North Korea, they started having these assemblies to work out a government. And by 1948, so after 3 years, by 1948, the Soviets set up had a new government set up. There was a process of competition between various factions, and most of these factions were communist. You had a pro Mao faction, you had a pro Stalin faction. You also had this faction under Kim Il-sung. Now, what Kim Il-sung was born in 1912, so he's only in his early 30s when this is going on, early to mid 30s. Kim Il-sung had, and I don't know what his real name when he was born was, but Kim Il-sung was the name of a legendary fighter, kind of like a Paul Revere type of thing that everybody knows the name. Nobody really knows what he did. And so this guy took the name Kim Il-sung, and he was fighting against the Japanese, not necessarily in Korea, but in neighboring Manchuria, which the Japanese also were occupying. And so he had a little guerrilla operation. He had a little group of people, and he was a guerrilla leader. He was in his 30s fighting against the Japanese. And, you know, he fought without being killed by the Japanese. Obviously, the Japanese were defeated first and foremost by the United States, although in the very closing days of the war, the day after the Hiroshima bomb, the Soviets finally decided they'd enter the war into Japan, against Japan. And this led Japan to surrender. So Kim Il-sung, out of all these factions, he wound up, so it wasn't 100% that he was installed by the Soviets, but it is said that after the Japanese left, Kim Il-sung entered Pyongyang wearing a Soviet military uniform with the rank of major. Okay, so he wasn't the only person with Soviet backing. He was one person. It wasn't even necessarily the main person with Soviet backing. But after 3 years of wrangling and effort setting up a government, he was the one that won out. And so when the North Korea was established as a state, a divided state, but when they were established in the North, Kim Il-sung was the leader. He would have been about 36 years old at the time. It was the summer of 1948, and the Russians withdrew. Well, the Russians withdrew pretty soon after that. They withdrew their troops, and so you had an unoccupied North Korea under Kim Il-sung, young guy.
And then so North Korea invaded South Korea in 1950s, got the Korean War kicked off. So they violated that parallel with the support of China and Soviet Union. And so you had the Korean War, which was about 3 years.
Yeah, so you had North Korea was established with Kim Il-sung leading it in 1948. And in the South, the United States did not want communists. If there had been like elections, communists would have won, because that's just how the Koreans were rolling at the time. But the United States didn't want that. And so a rather old man named his name was Lee Sung-man, but he was called Syngman Rhee. That's the way if you look at history books, Syngman Rhee, that's the way that they would write it. And he was the head of the South Korean government with American backing. He had been living in the United States, mainly in Hawaii, which was an American colony. He had been living in the United States for so long that some people were saying that he had forgotten how to speak Korean. I was just talking to an old Korean lady last week, and I raised that issue, and she said, nah, he could always speak Korean. But he was somebody, but he spoke completely fluent English. And so he wasn't popular. And he was in South Korea. And the way we typically hear it is on such and such day, and I believe it was July of 1950, the North Koreans had a surprise attack against South Korea. Now, there was a Jewish journalist named I.F. Stone, and he wrote a book during the Korean War. It was like 1951, 1952. He wrote a book on saying that, no, this was not really a surprise attack. What you had was throughout the year or two prior to this happening is you had very, very frequent incursions by one side or the other into the other side. Number one. Number two, you had evidence that the South Korea and its allies knew that there was going to be about to be a war, and you know, he looked at things like the commodities market for soybeans, which was going to be disrupted. Well, the Taiwan, the Chiang Kai-shek, who was in Taiwan at the time, and he just fled China going to Taiwan. That he and his compatriots seemed to know that there was about to...
There's a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. Every move he makes, another chance he takes. The odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man. They've given you a number. I hadn't checked it.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less value its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Chiang Kai-shek, who was in Taiwan at the time, and he just fled China going to Taiwan, that he and his compatriots seemed to know that there was about to be a war in Korea, because they cornered the soybean market right before this and made a killing in the market. There was IF Stone said is it wasn't so much a surprise attack as an escalation in what had been ongoing skirmishes. There was a major escalation. So the North had a major escalation. It wasn't necessarily that much of a surprise. Anyway, that's IF Stone's version of it. But yeah, the North overwhelmed the South, took over almost the entire peninsula. The thing is, the United States had just withdrawn from North Korea. I mean, from South Korea. So it had been given its own independence, and the United States had withdrawn from it. And then the North Koreans overwhelmed the South. And the thing, like I say, the South Koreans, a lot of them were communists. A lot of them welcomed the Northern armies, and the Northern armies were coming in and doing things like destroying the land ownership records. So because land ownership was very, very lopsided. You had some landlords And then you had these peasants who were landless peasants who were working on it. And the North Koreans were coming in and destroying the records of who owned what, which made it impossible for after the war, actually made it impossible for a lot of landowners to reclaim their land. And so there was, by necessity, a redistribution of land, which wound up being good for poor South Koreans. But at any rate, yeah, the North overwhelmed the South. They pushed the South out of everywhere except for the area right around Pusan. And then the Americans landed in Pusan. They wound up pushing the North Koreans all the way up to close to the Yalu River, which is the border with China, with Manchuria. And then the Chinese all of a sudden entered the war, and they had big numbers. And then they entered the war, and they pushed the Americans south. And then you had all this fighting back and forth. And after 3 years, you wound up with both sides almost exactly where they started. So where they started was a straight line, the 38th parallel, with the communists north of the line and the anti-communists south of the line. And when they finally wrapped up the fighting, the ceasefire line was very close to that. It was a little bit diagonal, but it was very close to that line. And so 3 years of bloody, bloody fighting, and they were back where they started from. And that's
from what I've read, the Korean War, with nearly 3 million casualties, had more casualties than Vietnam, and what was it? 3 million fatalities, larger civilian death toll in World War II and Vietnam. You had almost every major city in Korea destroyed, and 1.5 million Koreans are estimated to have fled North Korea. So a very destructive war, and they're still at war. There's no peace treaty.
Yeah, it's just been a ceasefire. There's a ceasefire. There's never been, there's never been a formal end to the war. And you do have, I've been to, right on the ceasefire line, north of Seoul, there is a village called Panmunjom. And that's where the North and the South, when they meet right on this little village. And there are about like six trailer-sized buildings that are straddle this demarcation line. And the North, there's a door on the north side, there's a door on the south side, and people go in and they meet there. When Trump went there, he visited South Korea. He went there and had kind of an impromptu meeting with the North Koreans, and Kim Jong Un came down. And then guided him across the line, and they went to there's this weird building on the north side that when you're looking at it, it looks very impressive when you're looking at it from the south, but actually it's practically just a facade. It's not very deep, so it looks big, but it's not that deep. But at any rate, Kim Jong-un came and guided, hand by hand. He took Trump's hand, and they walked into this building. And, who was following? There were some reporters who were allowed to follow. But typically, if somebody crosses that line, then you get a bunch of shooting, right? And you've had people both from the north suddenly going south, and you've had people from the south going north. About a year ago or so, there was some black dude in the who was an American, was he a Marine or a U.S. Army soldier? And he just all of a sudden ran across the border to go to the north. And that became kind of an issue. So you've had that. But yeah, it was like you said, it was very, very destructive. And...
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United
with
States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? What are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
And he just all of a sudden ran across the border to go to the north, and that became kind of an issue. So you've had that. But yeah, like you said, it was very, very destructive. And, you know, more destructive than Vietnam. Well, Vietnam, there was a lot of bombing. Korea, there was a lot of bombing. But what you had in Korea that made it particularly destructive was the front line. The front line between the north and the south moved up and down the entire peninsula. So everywhere, like with the exception of Pusan in the south, eastern corner and little area right adjacent to China, with the exception of these tiny little areas, everywhere changed hands, and some places changed hands like 5-6 times. And so when they changed hands, destructive.
This is where you had the advent of the mobile army surgical hospitals. This is what the television show MASH is based on. You had choppers. That was the first time that choppers, helicopters, were used to transport wounded from the front to these hospitals. And this was also the first war where you had desegregated military squadrons. The blacks and the whites bumped together and served together. You also had the first war where females could get a commission to be nurses. They could be commissioned officers. So there was a lot of firsts in this war, a lot of social norms that became normative in the civilian world about 10 years later. just a little interesting aside.
Yeah.
But I wanted to bring us forward to now. You know, I mean, you got North Korea. They're always seems like they're always trying to do a rocket launch, a rocket test. I mean, that's Trump's little funny little nickname for Kim, right? The Rocket Man. And so they're always wanting to try to demonstrate that they're able to strike targets. And so currently, how do we have the system drawn out? Like, of course, the West supports the South. So the North is still supported by Russia, China, and I would imagine BRICS. How does this play into the BRICS, the Belt and Road Initiative, into the things that we're seeing now? Like, why is the U.S. so adamant on taking down Kim?
Yeah. So Kim Il-sung, when you know, the late 40s, in the late 40s, the Soviet Union, they had occupied North Korea. They had occupied these countries in Eastern Europe, like Czechoslovakia, and, Poland, Hungary, Romania, and they set up governments and left governments there. And at the time, Stalin was the head of the Soviet Union, and Stalin had a cult of personality. So Stalin was practically worshipped during his rule. And, you know, so there was a cult of personality. And these people, whether you're talking about Kim Il-sung, whether you're talking about the people that were leading Europe, these Eastern European countries, they set up Stalin-style cults of personality. And that's what you had. And then Stalin wound up dying in 1952, which was during the Korean War. And that's part of the reason that it ended, was that, well, with Stalin dead, and then you also wound up having a new administration in America in January 1953 with Eisenhower replacing Truman. So they negotiated a ceasefire. And then a year or so later, the new Soviet leadership under Khrushchev denounced Stalin, and they dismantled the cult of personality. And so these what you could call Stalin puppets or whatever, they lost their base of support. And so you had the Stalin style leaderships in Eastern European countries then also being overthrown by new, like, pro-Khrushchev types of people. It didn't happen in Korea, because during the – so Korea had been – North Korea had been set up by the Soviets, but during the Korean War, it wasn't the Soviets who were most involved in assisting North Korea. It was the Chinese. The Chinese came over the border by, like, the millions, 1 or 2 million so-called volunteers came over the border, and they stayed for a few years. And so when all this stuff, all the de-Stalinization was going on in Eastern Europe, there were Chinese troops that stayed in North Korea until about 1958. So that meant Kim Il-sung was immune from this de-Stalinization. So And during the rest of the Cold War, depending on what was going on in the Soviet Union, depending on what was going on in China, he was able to balance back and forth between China and Russia in such a way that he maintained his own power, whereas in Eastern Europe, none of these – you never got that. When the winds of change blew in the Soviet Union, they blew right through to Eastern Europe. But when North Korea was siding and more dependent on China during the 1950s, when the Soviet Union was going through this process of change after Stalin's death. But then when China started getting chaotic in the Great Leap Forward and in the Cultural Revolution, when Mao was going all weird, then North Korea would side more, because there was a giant rivalry between for leadership of the communist world between Russia, between the Soviet Union and China. This was a massive feature, and North Korea was able to balance between them almost uniquely. And in the process, Kim Il-sung was able to maintain leadership, like a cult of personality. He's the great leader, like all this mythology about, you know, him being like a legend, mythology about him single-handedly defeating the Japanese, which didn't happen. But this was maintained up until his death in 1994. And then after his death, he handed power to his own son. His own son was able, which I didn't think was going to happen. I was, because his own son, who's Kim Jong-un's father, Kim Jong-il, was a playboy, and he was, you know, it didn't seem like he was a serious enough person, but I was wrong. They were able to successfully pass power down within the family without being overthrown by other people in the ruling party, without being overthrown by the military. They've been able to keep power inside the family ever since 1948. So you're talking about, 76 years now? So that's, we're already like 34 minutes into the show. That is the background of North Korea. I kind of like this part of history. I studied a great deal of it, as you can tell.
Well, and that's why I value your, you know, commentary on it, because I just know a basic sketch of the history, but just a basic thumbnail sketch. And quite honestly, most of what I know about the Korean War is from MASH. I'm not even going to lie. But no, I just wanted to bring us forward to where we are now. So they're doing these rocket tests. The U.S. is making threats. Coming into Belt and Road Initiative and the new international order of things where Russia and China sort of take the lead, how does Korea play a role in that? And could we see a shift of South Korea coming into this fold?
So South Korea, during most of the Cold War, or big hunk of the Cold War, so South Korea had this elderly guy, Kim, what's his name? Lee Sung-man, Sung-man Ri. He wasn't particularly popular. He got pushed out in around 1960, and effectively, although it took a little bit of time, there's this young general named Park, Park Jong-i in Korean, but you know, General Park was a young officer who had been, well, he'd been young, he'd been trained, he had been in the Japanese military. He wasn't, like, unlike Kim Il-sung, who was a guerrilla fighter against the Japanese, Park Jong-i, who became dictator of South Korea for 18 years, was a Japanese military officer. He had been trained. He was graduated the top of his class in Japanese military academy, and so he was a military guy. He took over South Korea, and on the one hand, he, under his leadership, South Korea developed economically, but on the other hand, politically, he was very, very repressive, and he would jail and shoot his opponents and this type of thing. This is something I mentioned on Monday's show with Mark Collett. He was an anti-communist, but there was no political freedom under him. But he developed North Korea very well. And then he was eventually assassinated by the head of his own intelligence agency at a party, just got shot point blank. So South Korea was under military rulers for a long time. North Korea was under this communist party. It still is. South Korea developed North Korea had originally developed economically faster, but under Park, the South passed it up. The South had twice the population. And North Korea, its style of communism has been based on self-reliance. So they build up all their own industries, but they're a small country, and so there were bad things to building up all your own industries, because your own industries would fall behind. Whereas South Korea, it built up its industries, but it built them up through exporting to, anyway, I don't want to get into that. South Korea has had nuclear power plants going back to probably the 70s, or maybe even earlier. They had a nuclear electricity industry. President Park, who assassinated, a lot of people think he was assassinated because he was determined to build nuclear weapons, and that really the CIA was behind it. But South Korea has a very big nuclear power industry. If they wanted to slap together nuclear weapons, they could on a moment's notice. The North doesn't have a nuclear power industry, but they were building a nuclear power plant that after the Soviet Union broke up and you had the unipolar moment, the Clinton administration put huge pressure on the North Koreans to stop building their nuclear power plant. Huge pressure, and got the North Koreans to agree, okay, we will build this plant, but under American supervision. We'll stop building this plant, but the Americans can build us a plant under their own supervision. So the North Koreans dismantled they mothballed their plant and kept their end of the bargain. This is in the 1990s. But the plant that was supposed to be built for them by the United States, that would be under their supervision and use technology that's harder to develop weapons from, they never even broke ground on it. And so eventually the North Korea, because they were just expecting North Korea, the communist government in North Korea, just to fall just like all the Eastern governments did, but it never did. And so finally, after about 8 years, the North Koreans said, well, the heck with it. You're not building us a plant like you promised. So we're going to take our plant out of mothballs, and we're just going to go ahead and do what we want. And so they developed their own nuclear weapons. They've tested the nuclear weapons. They've had like 6 tests of nuclear weapons, and they've also developed rockets. They can launch a satellite into space. So they are one of the most advanced nuclear power arsenals. It's not huge, but they have missiles that are capable of putting, they could strike the United States with a nuclear weapon. Now, for them, it's really a deterrent, but they could strike the United States. They could strike American bases in Japan. They could strike Japan. And South Korea is really, really close. Obviously, they can strike South Korea. And so the Japanese are freaked out. But the thing is, like, the reason the Japanese would be targeted by North Korea or by China is because it hosts dozens and dozens of huge American military bases that do have nuclear weapons that are threatening North Korea and China. So there we are. Why are we're almost at the end of the show. Why are we talking about North Korea?
Well, we wanted to do the deep dive on North Korea, and I would call that a deep dive, my friend, because the headline reads, Kim supervises drill of nuclear-capable rocket launchers designed to target Seoul. So, and I was trying to bring us forward to I wanted to get the history so we could figure out why we're we're at today. And I think you've explained that quite well, very well. And, as we enter this order of new power in the world, but we do have a couple of other things where we got a minute or two. Did you know Kyle Rittenhouse is coming to Kentucky? He's going to speak in Bowling Green at West Kentucky University. Wow. I caught this. Yeah, WKMS. So a very right-wing student body at West Kentucky University in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And Bowling Green's a pretty cool little town. It's about half and half, liberal right-wingers. Think about half the population. And this particular student body invited Kyle Rittenhouse to come speak. Do you see Kyle? I see him. I see him in Kentucky coming soon on March 27th.
Yeah, I see Kyle. He's about this tall.
About this high. And so, of course, that drew from all the snowflakes on campus started protesting. The state troopers said they're going to be there. There's going to be safe spots. There's going to be safe places for students that are hurt by the very presence of someone who would blow away pedophiles in the street. If you're afraid of that, you have a safe place to go on the campus. So that's always a good thing.
Okay,
but I guess Kyle is just going to be a political figure now, and he's doing speeches. He spoke in Tennessee. He's kind of moving to different college campuses, and we could look for a political career for this young man.
We could. Now, wasn't he an intern at Lindsey Graham's Senate office or something like that? Aren't the like gay MAGA people trying to groom him to be like totally not racist and all that stuff?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think it's Turning Point that is a group on campus on Kentucky University of not UK but at West Kentucky University, a group that is affiliated with Turning Point USA. Who is that? Kirk?
Charlie Kirk. Yeah.
And so, yeah, they're trying to gay up our boy Kyle, but hopefully he'll protect himself and not let some old faggot molest him. But if he's already been with Lindsey Graham, he could be compromised already.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's SusannaSecret.com. SusannaSecret.com.
Gay up our boy Kyle, but hopefully he'll protect himself and not let some old faggot molest him. But if he's already been with Lindsey Graham, he could be compromised already.
He could be compromised. Indeed. By the way, I can't quite leave Korea yet. In South Korea, you have had, since the military government stopped. And then, like in the late 1980s, they started doing these presidential elections, which seemed to be fair. And I'll tell you one thing. The weirdest thing about South Korea is the fact that anybody would want to be president, because the South Koreans go hardcore. Like, all politicians are corrupt. So all politicians have corruption. I mean, it's just, it's a corrupt business. But the South Koreans are really, really hardcore about going after their presidents or former presidents on corruption charges and sentencing them to death. Now, none have been actually executed, but they have sentenced at least a couple to death. Others have been, you know, thrown in jail. One died mysteriously by falling off of a cliff. And so being an ex-president, and they only have they have a one-term limit. So you get to be president for 5 years, and then you can't run for re-election. So why anybody would want to be president of South Korea, I don't know. But at any rate, they have these highly contested elections, and South Korea is very divided between people who have a really hard-line view of North Korea and those who want to improve relations and maybe eventually unify through a peaceful process. The hardliners want to unify through a military process of wiping them out. And while Trump was president, his South Korean counterpart was this guy named Jae-in Lee, I guess was his name. And he was somebody who wanted better relations with North Korea. And he set up it wasn't the American State Department. The American State Department foreign policy apparatus was dead set against Trump meeting with Kim Jong-un and having any kind of improvement in relations. And they have eventually, even though Trump and Kim met three times, Bolton and Pompeo and the State Department blocked any kind of agreement that would come out of that. But and so the only way that these things got set up was through the South Korean government under Jae-in Lee. They set it up. It was the South Koreans that set up these meetings. But that president, his term has expired. He hasn't been executed yet. But his successor isn't interested in this. So there was a golden opportunity under Trump. And, you know, I don't know if it can be easily repeated. But I just wanted to throw that in. By the way, I went to South Korea last year, and I saw our boy Ryan Dawson there. We had lunch, and South Korea is amazing. I've never been to North Korea. I've always wanted to go. I think it's not going to be as rich and affluent as South Korea, but I'm sure it would be interesting in its own way. But we're pretty much at the end of our show.
Thanks, Patrick. We tried to keep it classy, but it's really hard when you're talking about Republican politics to stay classy on any level.
It is. You can stay classy talking about North Korea.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, definitely. Thanks a lot, my friend.
Thank you. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.